The question today is, what keeps you from quitting the ministry? This is part number six. We've talked about the scripture in Proverbs chapter 29, verse 18, where it says, where there's no vision, the people perish. And truly, what happens is, of course, when we think about that, if you don't have a mental image of something, you'll have a tendency to throw in the towel and to quit. And so I said, Lord, help me to see something. In other words, I don't want to let go. I don't want to let loose of something. I want to keep on keeping on by the grace of God. I know there's temptation, but temptation's not sin. And we've looked at, and I said, I've seen some things, and we've been over some things. I want to deal with another one today, the Lord willing. But I've said, I've seen the Savior. I've seen His journey, I've seen His job, and seen His joy. If you need the messages on this, we'll be glad to send you the CD or the tape of these broadcasts and let you have them no charge. Just check out our website at thepersuader.org, and you can order, get our email and addresses and all those real easy from there, and a lot more material we have about this. But when I see the Savior, His journey, His job, and His joy, then I said, I've seen the saints, those who've gone home, those who are helpful, those who are hungry, those who are hurting. Boy, I tell you, if I quit, they'll quit. And by the grace of God, I don't want to quit. Now, don't ever say what you won't do. Peter said he wouldn't, and he quit before daylight. You see, that very night when he told Jesus he'd go all the way in this and even die for him, but he quit. So, but the main thing, we need to keep on keeping on, because if we quit, others are going to quit. Daddy, if you quit, your children will quit. And then when I said, when I see the sinner, and I think about the eternality of the soul, how that soul is a living soul going to have eternal consciousness somewhere. And it says, hey, I've got a responsibility. I want to keep on keeping on. And then I think about the essentiality of salvation. Folks, I want to tell you, it's essential that you be saved God's way. There is no other way. And so you need to, and it makes me want to keep on going, because I know there's blindness and there's deception on every side pulling you astray, and the blind leading the blind, they're both going to fall in the ditch. So I need to hurl forth the truth of real salvation. By the grace of God, can't quit. I think about the eternality, the equality of salvation, not only eternality of the soul, but the equality of salvation, red, yellow, black, or white, doesn't matter which side of the tracks you're from, it doesn't matter what your pocketbook is. I mean, all got to come God's way and all saved the same way, and there's hope for all. If Legion can be saved, then there's hope for you. I said, when I see Satan, how he'll lie to you about sin, about self, and about salvation, it says that by the grace of God, I want to keep on keeping on. And then when I see the seat we're going to have to face, I'm talking about the saints of God. It's a day of rejoicing as we see others and see Jesus most of all. But it'd be a day of rewarding if we've done well. It'd be a day of suffering loss if we hadn't, because it's a day of reckoning, see. There's going to be a day of reckoning then, and it's all going to be brought out. And in other words, and the Bible calls it a terror. It means that which causes intense fear. It's not going to be a Sunday school picnic. And when we realize that, it causes me to say, hey, by the grace of God, I want to keep on keeping on, and I want to persuade others. Because knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. It's what the Scripture says in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse number 11. But then another thing today I want to deal with, I've seen by faith in the Scripture, I see the seat's contrast. I'm talking about the contrast to the judgment seat of Christ. And this is what's called the great white throne of judgment. The Bible says this in the book of Revelation chapter 20, verse 11. And I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. And the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books, according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. And they were judged every man according to his works, and death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And then he said, whosoever is not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. So this is the great white throne judgment. And when I get a good look at that in the Scripture and realize, and even though we may not understand all the ramifications about what goes on there, and I know there's a lot, and by the way, there's a lot of misunderstanding about the judgment anyway. See, there's a lot of people think there's going to be a general judgment, and they use where Jesus spoke in John chapter 5, verse number 28 and 29,
when he said, "Marvel not at this, for the hour is coming in the which all that are in the grave shall hear his voice, and shall come forth, they that have done good unto the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation." Now, there in that scripture, if that's all we had, we could say there's going to be a general resurrection. But this word "hour" is talking about a period of time. In other words, it talks about, over in the book of Corinthians, it talks about this is the day of salvation. A lot of people want to say it's today, but this day is not a 24-hour period of time. It's a period of almost over 2,000 years. It's been during that length of time is the day of grace, the age of grace. And so, therefore, this hour is talking about a certain specific time that everyone's going to come out of the grave. I understand that, but there is no general resurrection, no general judgment. There's two. We got Scripture. You see any Scripture, no Scriptures of any private interpretation. You take that verse without the rest of the Bible, you'll come up in error. If you ever think you've got truth and think you what you're saying is right, if you find a verse that crosses what you have said and what you've taught, then you need to back up and come again, because everything you teach and preach should fit in the Scripture. It's got to be all dealt with in the principle of the Scripture. And so, therefore, works are going to be judged at both resurrection, at both judgments, but they're separated by 1,000 years. The Bible said in the book of John, chapter 4, verse number 23, there, and of course, that talks about the hour cometh, in other words, and means a period of time, is what I'm trying to say about this age of grace. But this hour is two separate times that he talked about in John, chapter 5, verse number 28. Two separate times. There's a resurrection of life the Bible speaks about in Revelation chapter 20, verse number 5 and 6. He said, he talked about the being resurrected, but the rest of the dead live not again until the 1,000 years were finished. This is the first resurrection. Blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection. On such the second death hath no power, but they shall be priests of God and of Christ, and shall reign with him 1,000 years. In other words, that's talking about at the rapture. That's talking about the judgment seat of Christ, where they'll stand, but the rest of the dead, which is the lost dead, will not be resurrected. They'll not live until a 1,000 years later, is what he's talking about here in this. And so, but this is called the resurrection of life. But then there's the resurrection of damnation, where the lost is going to stand before the great white throne judgment after 1,000 years. And verse 12, here John said, "I saw the dead, small and great," Revelation 20, "the small and great stand before God, and the books were open, and another book was open, which is the book of life, and the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works." In other words, all the Word of God's going to be there. The books of remembrance, the book of life, his place where their name could have been in, his show place where there was a possibility of them being saved had they not rejected the light somewhere back there. But that's the resurrection of damnation. In other words, that's the lost. They stand there. And if they're going to be judged to determine what degree of hell that one will occupy. The Bible said in the book of Luke, chapter 12, verse 47 and 48, he said, "And that servant which knew its Lord's will and prepared not himself, neither did according to his will, shall be beaten with many stripes. But he that knew not and did commit things worthy of stripes shall be beaten with few stripes. And for unto whomsoever much is given of him, much shall be required, and to whom man hath committed much of him, they'll ask the more." If you reject truth and reject the light, the more you reject, the hotter place of the lake of fire will you wake up in one day. Now, you notice in verse 13 it said there, "And the sea gave up the dead, and death and hell delivered up the dead." Hell, Hades, gave up the dead. The only dead left there is the lost dead. The saints of God were already resurrected, or not resurrected, but they were led captivity captive when Jesus died on the cross, spent 3 days and nights in the heart of the earth, and led captivity captive. And 2 Corinthians 12 said he carried them into the third heaven. In other words, but they're going to be judged according to their works. But the main book is the book of life, and all whose name is not in that will be cast in the lake of fire. And this is the second death, and death means separation. They'll be separated from God forever and ever in the lake of fire. In other words, they'll be flung with force, is what the word cast means. And only the lost will be judged, but the saints of God are going to be there. You say, "Preacher, why do you believe that?" Well, Bible says about the rapture in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse number 16, "For the Lord Himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. And then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord." He'll be there, and we'll be there with Him. Now, I don't know exactly how it'll be, but I believe we'll stand there as witnesses as these people make excuses. You see, many of them are going to say, excuse me, they're going to say, "Lord, Lord, but have we not prophesied in Thy name, cast out devils, and so forth?" Matthew 7:22, "And then will He profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you workers of iniquity. I never knew you at any time," is what the Greek says. And they're going to turn to the saints of God, and some of them. Now, many people I know will be there, but you get the point I'm trying to make. Son's going to turn to dad and say, you gave me my first drink. You taught me how to cheat. You didn't discipline me. You never said a prayer. You never read your Bible. You never really tried to teach me what was right. And you put more emphasis on money and sports than you did on the Lord. You never told me about Jesus." That daughter may turn to the mother. She reached the knowledge of accountability. And I'm not talking about kids. I'm talking about those that's reached the knowledge of accountability. They say, "You're the one who wanted me to fit in school. You bought me those mini skirts, those short shorts, those bikinis. You bought me all those seductive nylons and painted my face at an early age. You're the one who sent me to the doctor to get me pills so I wouldn't get pregnant and ruin your name. You never took time for me. You never taught me about Jesus. I didn't see anything in your life that caused me to want Jesus." There'll be some young people that grow up and reach the knowledge of accountability, turn there that to the Sunday school teacher, his or her, and say, "You never called me down when I was talking in class. You didn't you didn't care whether we listened or not. You didn't prepare your lesson. You talked about the weather. You rambled about the weather and about sports. You just tried to be one of us instead of taking a stand. You never told us how to care about our soul or that you were praying for us. You never really told us about Jesus." And there'll be some church members turn to the pastor and say, why didn't you rock the boat? Why didn't you show a real concern? Why did you say salvation with just praying some little old prayer? Why did you follow that easy believism? Why did you tell me that I was saved when I told you I wasn't sure? You never told me really about Jesus. I never saw Jesus in your life. Why did you soften your message when someone kicked up? Mind you, most of these are going to be standing on the same side and all be cast in the lake of fire. And there will be tears, tears, tears of that day. But thank God the Bible said, you say, that's not heaven if we be that. But they'll be wiped away in Revelation 21:4. And Isaiah 65:17 says, the former things never come into mind again. Folks have seen something by the grace of God in the Scripture. And by the grace of God, I don't want to quit. And I'll not say I can't, but I don't want to quit. And I want to keep on going. And I pray you will too. This is Edgar Lee Pascal, host of Ask the Pastor, saying good day to you. Until we meet again on the air or in the air, may the good Lord bless you is our prayer. In Jesus' name, amen.